that missionary, chapter 3. And when you find your place, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, if you're physically able to stand. And we'll read some verses here and continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you'll look with me in verse chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6. God writes to us through the Apostle Paul, says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And I'm going to end off reading there. And we're looking at the duty of God's people. We started this Wednesday night looking at the duty. He's dealing with the duty of these Corinthians. And we've looked at a few things regarding Christian duty, serving God. Tonight, we're going to look at the end of all of that and look at the rewards for duty, the rewards for workers. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come before your throne of grace tonight. Thank you for the blessing it is to be saved. And Lord, I thank you for the good songs of Zion that have been sung tonight, how you've stirred our heart. And Lord, I thank you for the prayers that have been prayed, the offerings and tithes that have been given. Lord, I thank you for the assembly and for your people and the fellowship. And Lord, it's just been a good day. And Lord, I thank you now for this time of preaching that you've brought us to tonight. Lord, I pray that your will would be done. And Lord, you would help us to preach that which you would have us to preach, to say only what you'd have us to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray that your will would be done in our hearts. Lord, I lift up that lost soul that may be here among us tonight. Lord, as we preach this morning, maybe they have a counterfeit salvation. And I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, Lord, that you would draw us close to thee, encourage us, uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just pray your perfect will be done in our hearts and our lives. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, again, we've been looking at the duty of serving God, the duty of Christians, and tonight we're going to look at the rewards for that. You know, I thank the Lord that there are rewards for salvation. I mean, we're certainly we would still be obligated to serve God even if there was no reward involved, because He's worthy, because He's God. Amen? But thank the Lord that He is a God of love, and that love does endure, and His love compels Him to desire to give us all the good things that we could possibly have, all the good things that you could have in life, and all the good things you could have in eternity. Amen? And it's His love that compels Him. He's not really obligated to us in any way, but He loves us. And so because He loves us, His love compels Him to desire to bless us and give us good. Well, that's a far cry from the rest of the religion of this world. Amen? Thank God that true Holy Ghost religion and old time religion is more than a long list of do's and don'ts and a long list of, more than a list of check boxes, you know, to check off just to make sure I've done good enough and all those things. But it is something real. Amen? And there are rewards involved. Now, before we get into the whole rewards thing, I want to say this. Salvation is not a reward. That's it. Salvation is not a reward. Listen, there is nothing you could do or I could do to earn our salvation or keep our salvation. Amen? Salvation is of the Lord, and it's a free gift from God. Amen? And so nobody's ever earned salvation. And that's what a reward is. A reward is something that is earned, both good and bad. Amen? When somebody gets a death penalty, they're getting their just and due reward for what they've done. Amen? Reward is something that is earned. Whenever you get your paycheck at the end of the week or the month or whatever, however often you give it, that is your reward for the work that you have put in. Amen. Or should have put in at least. Amen. And so salvation is not a reward because we can do nothing to deserve it. We can do nothing to earn it. Amen. We are wicked, and God, in His grace and in His mercy, has given us salvation, the free gift of salvation. Amen. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 2. However, once we're saved, our Heavenly Father desires to bestow further blessings on us. Now, salvation is a blessing, isn't it? Amen. And thank God for the blessing of being saved. And when you've got nothing else in life, you can still pillow your head at night knowing I'm still saved. Amen. If I don't have anything else, though we've got a lot, but if we didn't have anything else, if we just had salvation, that would be enough. Amen. However, our God loves us so much, and our Heavenly Father loves you so much that He desires to bestow and to give more blessings, further blessings, to heap up the blessings on top of salvation, to give you more and go beyond it. And He promises us certain rewards for faithful service. Now, salvation alone is more than enough. But we serve a God that is willing to reward us for serving Him. Amen. That's a blessing. Now, the rewards for service and serving the Lord are greater than serving anyone else, the reward for serving anyone else or anything else. Amen? I mean, thank God for that paycheck that we get, that reward that we get for working. Amen? Listen, a workman's worthy of his hire. Isn't that right? And so it's right to get paid for the work. It is right to enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's right. That's biblical. Amen? And I know there's a lot of liberal philosophy going around where it's, you know, a profit is evil and it's evil to make money. We got to share the wealth and spread it around, all this socialism. Let me tell you, it is biblical to work and to get paid for your work. Amen. And to get paid what is right for your work, the amount that is right. Amen. And that's right. That's biblical. As a matter of fact, most of the men, great men of God in the Old Testament, that's how they made their living. That was a part of God's blessings, is, you know, buying and selling and getting gain, and God blessing what they did in their, you know, in their material things. And we know life isn't all about material things, but I'm just simply saying it is right. Amen. And so we want the reward, but listen, greater than any reward we could ever have in this life are the rewards that come for serving God. Amen? And matter of fact, many of the rewards, though many of them are received in this life, a lot of them are not received until after this life, in eternity. And the reason for that is because they are simply too great for this world. Amen? See, our minds are so fleshly that we tend to focus on the here and the now. And because we don't get a blessing and we don't get a reward here and we don't get the reward for our labor here and we don't see things happen here, we think we're not being rewarded. And our minds are so fleshly and so worldly and so carnal that we think the best rewards we can have are here, because if I can't experience it here, then what's it matter? But the truth is, if it was good enough for this world, listen, it wouldn't be the best rewards you could have. The rewards that God gives are simply too good for this world. Because listen, anything we have in this world and in this life is going to pass away. I don't care how big the fortune is. I don't care how great the name is, how big the dynasty is. Listen, at some point it will fall. At some point it will fail. It will burn up one of these days. The elements will melt with a fervent heat, the Bible says. And so thank God for His blessings in this life. But let us not forget that they're simply in this life. They're just in this life. And the greatest blessings that God gives are eternal blessings. Blessings that are too big and too good and too valuable for this world. Amen. I want to look at this passage here and look at a few different things that God deals with through the Apostle Paul regarding the rewards for workers. First of all, in verse number 8, and what we're going to do is we've already gone through these verses and looked at a few different things already, but we're going to kind of pick our way through these verses and look at everything he says about rewards. And the first one is in verse number 8, we find the promise of reward. He says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." That word "shall" is the word I want you to focus in on there, because that word "shall" indicates a promise, indicates something that is definitely going to happen. It indicates certainty in this promise. He shall receive his own reward. You know, service for the Lord will come. Or will be rewarded, rather. Service for the Lord will be rewarded. It will happen. God will be a debtor to no man. God will owe nobody anything. And so He will duly reward those who have served Him. Isn't that what He told Peter? Whenever Peter, you know, seemed like he was a little discouraged, said, "You know, Lord, we've forsaken all and followed you." And Jesus said, "Hold on a second." Now I'm giving you the Jacob Rutledge paraphrase here. "But hold on a second. Nobody's ever sacrificed anything. You know, houses or land or father or mother or, you know, all those things, friends and family. All that. No one's ever sacrificed anything and given up anything to follow me and to serve me that I will not repay him 100-fold in this life and in the life hereafter." Amen. He will be a debtor to no man, and you and I will never give up anything that He will not reward us for. Amen. As a matter of fact, I've not given up anything yet that He hasn't already rewarded me for. Amen. Can't you remember whenever you're battling with salvation and the world and the flesh and the devil were telling you all the things you're going to have to give up if you got saved? You can't do this and you can't do that, and you'll never have this, you'll never have that. Well, I can't tell you that it's a lie. Amen. It's a lie. Listen, I've never given anything up for God that He didn't do exactly what He promised He would do and hasn't repaid it 100-fold. Amen. With friends and family and blessings and all the things that He has to offer. God has been everything He promised He would be. Amen. And He's rewarded me for everything I've ever done. He's rewarded you for everything you've ever done. And there's more rewards to come if we'll be faithful in serving Him. It's a promise. We see that it speaks of certainty in this promise. But you know, there's a crowd for this promise too. He said, "Every man shall receive his own reward." So the service for the Lord will be rewarded, but all who serve Him will be rewarded. Whether the service is big, whether it's small, God will give due recognition to those who serve Him faithfully. Those who stand, those who stay right, God will recognize it and God will reward it. Remember Matthew chapter 25? The parable of the talents. Amen. Listen, that first fellow that had 5 talents and doubled up, he gave the Lord back 10 whenever the Lord came. I mean, that would be what we'd consider a big work. Isn't that right? I mean, he had 10. He had more than anybody, more than double of anybody else. But listen, that man that only had 2, yet he still doubled up and he gave the Lord 4. It wasn't even half of what the first man gave, yet God still honored it. He still rewarded it. Amen. Because listen, we all don't have the same responsibilities and we don't have the same gifts. And we don't have the same opportunities, but God is looking at our faithfulness, and whether what you're doing is big or what you're doing is small, God will reward it. Amen. As a matter of fact, there is no small work in the work of God. Amen. It's all an honorable work, and it's all a work that will be rewarded. And this world may not recognize it, and even in the ministry, it may not be recognized. But if you'll be faithful with what God has got you doing, it will be rewarded. Amen. And so big, small, even good and bad will be rewarded. What about that last servant? He had 1 talent and he didn't do anything with it. And it was taken from him and given to somebody else. Amen? See, unfaithfulness will be rewarded too. We'll all be rewarded. And so there's a crowd, but then there are conditions in this promise for reward. He said, according to his own labor. You know, effort, energy, and faithfulness, they will all be rewarded. Now, that's encouraging because a lot of times, much of the effort that we put in seems to yield small results or no results sometimes. Isn't that right? I mean, you can knock every door and you can invite every friend and you can pray and you can pass out tracts and you can, you know, we can go to the jail and preach week after week and we can have service week after week and we can do all the, you know, the big, you know, the mail outs. We can do all that stuff we want to do. And listen, we can put in energy, we can put in effort, we can pray, we can do all those things. And it can be real discouraging whenever you see little results or even no results sometimes. Isn't that right? And that's what we tend to do. We sometimes get discouraged. But always remember that the Lord rewards not by results, but by faithfulness, by effort, by energy. Amen? Isn't that right? I've said many times for preachers, listen, God didn't call me to fill a pew. He called me to fill a pulpit. Amen? And God didn't call you to necessarily fill a pew either. He called you to fill your place. To do your job, to do what, to plow the field He's placed you in. Amen? And God's given all of us a corner, and He's given all of us a place, and He's given all of us a people to be faithful, to try to reach, and to stand before, to have a testimony before, and to proclaim righteousness before them. That's what we talked about this morning. The righteousness that proclaims our sonship. And God has given us a place to proclaim righteousness before this generation. Listen, that they might be convicted, that the Holy Spirit might work in their heart, work in their life, to lead them to the cross and lead them to salvation. But you can't force anybody to get born again. And you can't force anybody to love God. And you can't force anybody to love Jesus and serve God. We can't force anybody to do that. Amen? Listen, early in my ministry, I thought it was my job to keep everybody faithful and keep a checkup on everybody and keep everybody on the pew and all those things. But listen, it was a good day when I realized that I can't do any of that. Amen? You have got to do what God's put it in your heart to do. And the sinner's got to do what God's put it in their heart to do, and that is repent. Amen? And none of us can make anybody do anything. All we can do is be faithful in the little place that God has put us in, and we will be rewarded for it if we'll be faithful. Amen? There's conditions here. So the promise of reward. Number two, we see the precaution for rewards here. Look with me in verse number 9. He says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Look here. "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." How he buildeth thereupon. You know, this point here kind of ties in with the labor condition that we were just talking about. And he's talking about being, in verse 8, being rewarded for our labor. That is the effort and the energy and the faithfulness we put in. Well, now he switches gears a little bit and he's talking about building a building. And he's warning and giving a precaution regarding not just what we build, but how we build. Now, just like the labor, how you build is very important to God. Very important to the Lord. More so than results, like any physical building, some build different ways. And God is more interested in how we build than He is in the results of our building. Amen. And just like building a physical building, you'll find that some build cheap and some even build dishonestly. I tell you, it's so hard to find good labor these days. Man, it is so hard. It's so hard to find somebody that will just simply do what they say they will do, that will show up. Amen. I tell you, that's one of the hardest things there is to get somebody to do work for you that will just show up, you know. Just show up. I heard a man say, it's been a long time ago now, it was kind of a talking about success. I was saying, he said 80% of success is just showing up. Amen? I mean, you're 80% of the way there. You're 80% of getting ahead in life. I mean, you're almost there if you'll just show up. And what he was talking about, just showing up, being on time, doing your job, doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, I think that's pretty close to the same as a Christian life. Amen? Listen, 80% of success in the Christian life is just showing up, man. We think about all the extra, all the above and beyond stuff. But listen, if you'll just be faithful, and if you'll just show up, amen, if you'll just be at church, if you'll just be on time, if you'll just pray, if you'll just read your Bible, if you'll just do the necessary things, listen, you're going to be way ahead of most everybody else. Amen? 80% of it is just showing up, just doing what's right. And listen, that's the same in this world. Listen, just showing up, getting people to show up, that's the hardest thing there is. You talk to anybody who owns a business and just getting people to show up and just do what they're supposed to do. I'm not talking about the extra stuff. I'm talking about just doing what's required. And that's the way people will build in their Christian life as well. Some will do it on the cheap and just do enough just to barely get by. Some will do it dishonestly. But others, they'll build very carefully. Take no risky shortcuts. They'll try to do it right. They want to do it right the first time. I'm big on that. Amen. My philosophy is, if we're going to do it, we may as well just do it right. Amen. I hate having to go back and redo something. Amen. Amen. And I'm not for wasting money and just throwing money around, but listen, if we're going to pinch pennies, let's not do it at the house of God. Let's do it at, you know, somewhere else. Let's do it at our house. Amen. I mean, let's do it right. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. Amen. And so that's the way the work of God ought to be. That's the way our Christian life ought to be. Amen? If we're going to do it for God, we may as well do it right. You know, the Lord takes a long look at how we do things. He's not just looking at the things we doing. He's looking long and hard at how we are doing it. That basically means that there's a lot of flashy service that will not be impressive to the Lord at all at the judgment. Amen? Instead of all the flashy service that a lot of people are going to be think will be rewarded, instead, much of it will be rejected by Him. And many of the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, is what Jesus said. So there's a precaution for rewards. Be careful how you build. But then there's a performance for rewards here. Look in verse number 11. He says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Now, what God is describing here is the character of the different performances that are done in the work of God. By the way, He's talking to saved people. Talking about saved people in the service of God. And there's different character regarding the different performances that people have, the things that people are doing for God. And He describes some of them as excellent performances. He says gold and silver and precious stone. Those are those excellent performances. But then there are empty performances. This is the service described by wood, hay, and stubble. It's a service empty of worth, empty of dedication, empty of faithfulness. It's maybe the thing that's done the right way with the wrong motive. Amen. You know, you can do the right thing with the wrong motive. I said this morning, I'll say it again, listen, we're so interested in what we appear to be on the outside, and God is interested in what we are on the inside. And He's not just interested in what we're doing, He's interested in why we are doing it. Do you know that we'll never be discouraged in anything we're doing for the Lord if we're doing just that? For the Lord. For the Lord. If we're doing it for the Lord and He's our motive and we're doing it to serve Him, listen, it doesn't matter if everybody's doing it and everybody's on board or nobody's doing it and nobody's on board. As long as we're doing it for Him, we'll never be discouraged. We'll never quit. Amen. We'll never get burnt out. But whenever we get our eyes on ourselves and our eyes on the results, that we kind of get down and we kind of get our heart wrong in things. And God knows all that about us. God knows whenever we're results driven, amen, or when we're reward driven, doing it for Him, amen. And there's two different kinds or character. And by the way, those two different kinds of services, serving the Lord, the excellent versus the, it has to do with the character of that service. Why are you doing it? Number four, the next thing we see is the proving for rewards. Look in verse number 13. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest. And so that is known. When something is manifested, it is made known, it is bared for the world to see, for all to see. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, one of these days, our service, everything we've done for God, is going to be examined by God to see what kind of reward we will obtain. And there is going to be a proving process that it will all go through. And the Bible says that that proving process is going to be fire. It's going to be proved by fire. And this fire involves a couple of different things. First of all, it involves rigor. It is going to be a rigorous examination. It shall be revealed by fire. And fire says that God will examine our performance very thoroughly. There will be nothing hidden, nothing swept under the rug. God sees it all. He knows it all. And He will judge it all. He will manifest it all. He'll thoroughly examine both quality and motive in everything we've done and haven't done in our Christian life, in the work of God. Do you know God knows every single time that you pulled up to a gas station and that person at the pump next to you, he spoke to your heart and said, you ought to give a tract to that person, or you ought to witness to that person, and instead of doing it, you just drove away. God knows every single time. And according to this Bible, it's going to be made manifest. He knows every single time I've done that. He knows every single time He's told us something to do, whether it be big or whether it be small. And you know, really, our Christian life and who we really are before God isn't even a compilation of the big things in our life anyways. Do you know that? That's the way the flesh views life. That's the way the flesh views who man is. What he is in the big moments and in the big things when everybody is watching. But you know, that has very little to do with, number one, who we really are, and number two, what it's going to look like when we stand before God at the judgment. Very little, if all, to do with it. Because what we're going to be before God at the judgment and who we really are before God anyways, pretty much is made up of all the little things in our life. The little times where the Holy Spirit spoke to heart and said, you ought to do this, and we don't do it. Or the Holy Spirit spoke to heart and said, you shouldn't do this, but you do it anyways. And maybe no one else knows, and maybe, you know, maybe it's not, it hasn't seemingly affected us in any way, you know, whatever. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And before God at the judgment, it's all going to be manifest who we really are. And that fire is going to be a rigorous examination of both the quality and the motive of our service for Him. Not only does it include rigor in the examination, but it includes revelation from the examination. Every man's work shall be made manifest, He said, of what sort it is. Sort there speaks of character. That's what He's talking about. The character of it, what it really is. Sort is more important than size or spectacular or splendor. In fact, sort is the most important thing of our work. Amen? So there's a lot of highly praised performances on earth that are going to be condemned before God. Everybody thinks, oh, it's so spiritual. Oh, man, it's so they're doing such a great work. I'm trying to think of who it was. I guess it was Brother Jamie. Yeah, I think it was Brother Jamie. He was shooting at me when he said it, too. Talking about, I introduced him. I said, you know, he's doing a great work down there in Louisiana, you know. And he said, you know, people talk about doing a great work, but you don't know what kind of work they're doing. And he is right. He is right. Because we look at this work or this person or that person or, you know, this minister or that minister or this family or that family. And we say, well, man, they're doing a great work, but we don't know what kind of work they're doing. God does. And it's all going to be manifest one of these days of what sort it was the whole time. Amen. You know, it makes me think about how, you know, a lot of times, you know, you come to church and Sunday morning, I don't know, you know, people act like getting up and getting ready to be on time for church at 9:45 is like for some reason, church at 9:45 is like the earliest time anyone could ever do anything, apparently. Like that is so early. I mean, people get up at like, you know, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever time to get to work on time every day. But for some reason, you know, 9:45 is like so early to get to church, you know. It always makes me think about it, you know, people, you know, get up late for church and scrambling around to get ready, and you know, you're fighting with each other and you're screaming at each other, and you drive to church fighting like cats and dogs, and you pull out of the car. Hey, brother, how are you doing? It's a blessing to be here. It's good to see you. Hey, how are y'all? You know, and you put your church smile on and you got your church costume on, and man, things just great. We're just happy to be in the church. We're happy to be in the house of God. Been fighting like cats and dogs the whole way there. Isn't that right? We're so good at that stuff, aren't we? And see, that's a pretty good example, though, of that what all of us see on the outside isn't always what it seems to be on the inside. Amen. And I know I'm not like shooting at anybody. I mean, that's the way we all are. We all go through that sometimes. But I'm simply saying the truth is we don't really know what's in the closed doors of people's lives. Amen. And we'll get to looking around and looking at all the great works, quote-unquote great works. And by the way, don't think for a second that the devil won't put some quote-unquote great work before you to discourage you in the work you're doing. He'll do that every time. Didn't he leave a messenger for Job and everything bad that happened? He always leaves a messenger, doesn't he? All through chapter 1, chapter 2, one after another. I only am escaped alive to tell thee. He's always going to leave a messenger every time. He's always going to leave someone to tell you the bad news or someone to tell you the great news of what's going on somewhere else and you're not seeing it where you are. And the devil does those things to discourage us and to make us feel like nothing and to make us want to quit. Amen? But listen, we forget that it's not about the results. It's about faithfulness, being faithful. Because the truth is, we never know. You don't know that work is as good as the devil makes it out to be. We don't know. I mean, I hope it is. Praise God if it is. But I'm just simply saying that the sort is what God is looking at. The sort. And there's going to be a lot of highly praised performances on earth that's going to be condemned whenever we get to glory. Because they were done with fleshly motivation. Maybe they were doing the right thing, but they were doing it with the wrong motivation. You know, there may be nothing more than window dressing the whole time. The service was a show and was done only when others were looking. Amen. On the other hand, there's going to be some saint that's been tucked away in a corner somewhere that's going to be praised by God. That's going to be greatly rewarded. They were faithful to plow the little field God gave them and just did what God told them to do. Amen. I mean, some mother that felt, you know, unrecognized and unrewarded in this life, but she was just faithful with her children and faithful with her family. Amen. Some man that was never anything big, but he was faithful with his family. Some pastor with a small church who was just faithful in the place God put him. Some layman, some Sunday school teacher that maybe never had a big class and never was rewarded and never saw their name, but they were just faithful to do what God had them do. And some, you know, somebody on the job somewhere that just was faithful with the people God gave them to be a witness to and testify before. They never saw anybody get saved. They never saw any results. They never saw anybody come to church. But boy, they were just faithful to witness and faithful to have a testimony, faithful to pray for them people and faithful to study their Bible, just faithful with where God put them. Amen. And so there may be some highly, you know, regarded works in this life that would be condemned. But I tell you, there's going to be some lowly works in this life that's going to be greatly praised. Amen. That God is going to reward because they were faithful. Last of all, the possessing of rewards. You know, the proving is going to determine the possessing. God's going to prove the work, and if as long as it's approved by the proving, it will be possessed. First of all, the enduring in the possession is verse number 14. He says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If it abide, he said. That emphasizes the main qualification for reward. The word abide. And that is this, faithfulness. Abide means to preserve, to continue, to remain steadfast. A good performance now and then is never good enough for God. I remember hearing Brother Alfred Willis, he said many times that he said it, he used to always say, I don't care how well you can sing if you can't sweep. Amen. Because folks can put on a great performance for a moment, but God's interested in what we are all the time. The steadfastness. You know, to gain heaven's reward, you're going to have to be faithful all the time. There's an enduring in the possession. Then there's an excluding in this possession. Verse 15, he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Those wood, hay, and stubble works, they are excluded from reward because they do not survive the fire. They burn up in the fire. And whenever that loss is experienced, that loss is going to be great. And what's going to emphasize and magnify the loss is that all of this is going to be done before Jesus Christ, under His personal, careful examination. That's what raises the stakes of this judgment so much. Is because the Father hath committed all judgment to the Son, the Bible says. And so Jesus Christ Himself, personally, will be the one examining your works and my works. It wouldn't be quite as big a deal if it was somebody else examining it. If it was us examining each other, you know. Because, I mean, let's be honest, misery loves company a lot of times, you know. And we can kind of understand each other and, you know, kind of give each other a pass because, oh, well, you know, you did that for the wrong reason. Well, I've been there too, you know, it's okay. It's kind of like the men at the jail tell you all the time, you know. You talk about, you know, sin, preach on sin, and their response is this a lot of times. Well, you know, nobody's perfect. It's kind of our mentality, isn't it? You know, oh, nobody's perfect. And really, we're just making light of it, you know. Well, nobody is perfect, but God expects perfection. He demands perfection. His holiness and righteousness demands perfection. And to think about the burning eyes of Christ searing down on these works, He will be the one that is looking and He will be the one beholding and manifesting and judging these things. And yet He was the one who died for us. He was the one who shed His blood for us. I mean, how will we ever, whenever He's the one judging and He's the one manifesting it all, how will we ever say, well, yeah, Lord, I know, but, I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, what could we possibly fill the blank in there? I didn't have a good family, and I didn't have good people around me to support me. And Jesus is going to say, well, yeah, He came into His own, but His own received Him not. The very people that He came to rejected Him. He didn't have a good support group around Him. As a matter of fact, no one's ever been as alone as Jesus. You say, well, He had the 12. Well, He didn't have the 12 in the garden. Well, he had three. He had the inner circle. He took Peter, James, and John and went and prayed. Well, yeah, he did. But then he went a little farther, the Bible said, and they fell asleep. And then when he was on the cross, they all deserted him. There was none there. No one's ever been as alone. No one's ever stood alone like Jesus. No one's ever had it as hard as him. No one's ever been as rejected for doing good like him. I mean, what would we ever possibly say? And yet all that he ever did, he did it for us. And he did it for you. Amen. And all that he's ever provided, he's provided for us. And he's provided for you. Amen. And yet he will have to look down at how little we did and how unfaithful we were most of the time. And you know, I don't think it's going to be the strong arm and the strong hammer of his judgment crashing down on all that that's going to hurt us so bad. It's going to be seeing him for who he truly is. And having a real understanding, a fulfilled understanding of how good he is and how much he's loved us. We're going to see his heart of compassion and all that he's provided and everything that he's done. And then we're going to sit and we're going to look at how little we have to offer in light of all of his sacrifice, in light of how good he has been and all that he's given. And we'll be left with nothing to cast at his feet. And I tell you, that's going to be great, great loss because he's just been so good. The loss will be great, so great that this person's salvation is said to be so as by fire. Fire refers to the destruction of that wood and hay and stubble performance. So there's nothing left. Matthew chapter 30, 19 verse 30. You remember I quoted this a moment ago. Jesus said, "Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." That is, one day soon, Jesus is going to set the record straight. People talk about great Christians and great men of God, great women of God. And I heard one preacher say, the greatest Christian in the world, the greatest Christian the world's ever known, you've never heard of him. I've never heard of him. There's never been any books written about them. They've never been on the flyer of the next big meeting. Amen? They've not been talked about. They've not been. There's not been people that admired them and wished they were like them. There's not been any of that. The greatest Christians the world has ever known have made themselves of no reputation. They've hidden themselves away and they've just served God where God's put them. And they've had very little, if any, recognition in this world, but one of these days, because they've been faithful and they've lived clean and they've done right and they've just wanted to serve the Lord and do right and please Him. One of these days, it's like Brother Allen used to talk about, you have to have a set of binoculars to see them. They'll be so far ahead of us at the judgment. God's going to set the record straight. And I wonder tonight, I don't know about you, but I want to be found faithful. I want to have rewards. And I don't know about you, but I get so convicted so many times when I think about how good God has been, how good the Lord has been to me, and how unfaithful I can be so many times. And the last thing I ever want to have to do is stand before Him with nothing to offer, with no rewards, when He's been so good to us. What about you? What about your duty? What about your rewards? Are you going to have something to offer Him when we stand before Him? It's not about how big what we're doing. It's about the sort of what we're doing. Doing it for Him. Let's pray.